Are you watching closely? Look closer. Never show anyone. They'll beg you and they'll flatter you for the secret, but as soon as you give it up, you'll be nothing to them. You understand? Nothing. The secret impresses no one. The trick you use it for is everything.
Hi, and welcome to the Young Game Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
And this is a warm bear. Hi, this is Douglas. How are you guys doing?
Bear number two.
Bear number two it is, already before we even started the podcast. Isn't that wonderful? Andrew, what do we have in store for these folks tonight?
I'm hoping you don't burp again.
I hope so too. It's very uncouth. Very, very, you know.
Very pungent. Hmm.
Oh, wow. I see what you're saying. Thank you.
Even though I'm sure they don't know what they're talking about.
No. Wow.
The Max apologize, sir. Max Damon is missing.
Missing? What? Where'd he go?
I don't know what happened. I'm calling him. He's not picking him up. So, Damon, you asshole. You decided to skip out on pretentious French cinema.
It's pretentious night, everybody. I chose the movie.
So, as always, we start off with what we've been watching. Do you want to go first or me?
No, you can go first.
I'll go first.
This will be a first for you.
First for me.
Okay. Yes.
This week, I didn't really see much. I saw... Where's my list? I have it here. Right. First movie I watched was Please Give, the new indie movie with Catherine Keener and Oliver Platt, and also, who I didn't know was in the movie, Rebecca Hall. I wasn't a huge fan of this movie. I mean, it did exactly what you expected from this genre of filmmaking, you know. It had all these characters, had like nice music in the background, and they spoke really frankly to each other.
Wait, it had good music?
It had good music.
I want to watch this movie.
It spoke frankly to each other, and characters had faults, and they made it seem very funny but sad at the same time, especially when you're talking about Catherine Keener's character, who's all like, I must help homeless people, every single one of them. I mean, even in the trailer, they show you this one bit where she tries to give this guy her food left over from dinner, and it turns out it's just a regular dude. He just happens to be black with a beard, with a scruffy beard, so she thinks he's homeless. And you know,
wait, hold on. Aren't all black people homeless?
No, it's the scruffy beard part. You have to focus on, not the black part.
Oh, shit.
So come on, do it again.
No, I shall not allow you to cut me out and make me sound much more smart.
Much more smart, good. So this movie, it's not that good. It's not a horrible movie, but you know, it's run of the mill. That's what it is. I also saw Megamind, the animated film with Will Ferrell and Brad Pitt and Tina Fey and Jonah Hill, and it's about superheroes and supervillains, and oh my goodness, the supervillain won, and now he's bored. I mean, I like these kind of movies, but I don't know, I just wasn't into this for some reason. I mean, I love Will Ferrell. I mean, I was actually rewatching Anchorman this week, where God knows, it's not my favorite Adam McKay and Will Ferrell film, but I love it. It's hilarious at times, and sometimes it goes over the bar, but still manages to be funny. But Megamind, on the other hand, it just feels like it does all the worst things you can do with all of those voices, in that it uses Will Ferrell. I think he was just riffing for the whole film. Like, they had a script, and then every other line, he decided, I'm going to throw in another little lame joke about being a supervillain. and about superhero world, and I think I should be in a comic book now. And it's really stupid. I did love Brad Pitt in it, though. Like, his character...
Really?
Yeah, his character is funny. I find his character funny, because the truth of it is his character is a straight guy who's just ridiculous. Megamind is the guy who's just silly over the top. Metro Man is like, I love you, random citizen. I'm like, that's awesome. He's juggling babies and stuff. That's hilarious. Jonah Hill, he didn't need to be in this movie. There are certain people whose voices should not be in animated films. One is Seth Rogen. I think the next is Jonah Hill.
So you're telling me you didn't like Kung Fu Panda? I know that for a fact is incorrect. You love Kung Fu Panda.
Yes, but Seth Rogen was a minor character in that. I'm trying to remember
also,
Jonah Hill was.
Also, I have... I'm pretty sure you like Monsters vs. Aliens.
Minor character. And I'm sure if I rewatch that movie, I wouldn't like it. But whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And another movie I watched this week was I got around to watching the classic Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers film, Top Hat. It's about a guy who meets a girl, and there's a whole heap of mistaken identity, and it becomes this huge comedy about, oh my god, he's cheating on his wife, but he's not married because he's not the guy she thinks he is and stuff, and there's lots of dancing and some singing, and I didn't really like it. It's really a movie of its time. It's not a strict musical, because even though every set piece opens up with song, Fred Astaire isn't really that great a singer. He's really a dancer, and that's what happens. It starts with song, and then it moves into the dance pieces. And because I really have no interest in the whole dance thing, like, I mean, I still haven't watched Step Up.
But did you not watch Step Up 3D?
No, I did not.
What?
And it just didn't work for me. Like, honestly, I just listen to the music, and I don't see the difference in the sequences when they're dancing. It's I don't know. I know there is a difference, but it just wasn't distinct enough, each one, for it to be special. So I feel like if there was one sequence, I would have been okay with it. But otherwise, I'm like, eh, it's alright. And the comedy, it's very of its time. You know, back when, like, even before the Dick Van Dyke Show, and people would always have this thing where they would say something, and they'd say it very confidently and very wittily, and the next person would respond with something completely opposite, and it would baffle them, and the look on their face would just be so comical, it'd be so animate, and it'd be so over the top that you really laugh at the look rather than the conversation. And that comedy, just, I don't like it that much. It's...
You don't like animate comedy?
And, I mean... Yes, I'm ignoring you. I'm sure in the 30s it was a great film and groundbreaking and stuff. But for me, not that great. The last thing I want to talk about is a new TV show that I've been watching. The Chicago Code. Which... It's the only person in it that I know by name is Delroy Lindo. Everyone else, I don't really know.
The main guy, I started watching this show too, and I'll talk about that later.
The Chicago Code?
Yeah.
Oh.
But the main guy is the senator brother in Brotherhood. From
I never watched that show. I do remember that show, but I never watched it. I actually really like the show. The only thing that I have against it is... I think the voiceover is a little cheesy. They have this voiceover early and over, and I thought at first it would just be the pilot episode when they're introducing these characters, but it seems after watching the second episode that they're going to keep introducing new characters every week to have a new voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of lame. Like, I really don't need that. Otherwise, I think it's a really good TV show. It's from the same writers as The Shield. And I've seen a few episodes of... I've seen like 5 or 6 episodes of that. I've been meaning to finish season 1, but I just haven't gotten around to it. And I really like that show. And I think they've brought that same kind of vibe to this television show, The Chicago Code. Except I guess they can't curse on this one, because this one's actually on, like...
I think it's CBS.
CBS, as opposed to being on FX, which is where The Shield was. Yeah, if you're not watching The Chicago Code, go and watch it. It's an awesome show. And that's all I've been watching this week.
Okay, well, what have I been watching this week? I saw Breaking Up Once. It's an indie movie about... It's very odd. It's this couple that have to plan their breakup. And so they start having days off. And then days off turns into days off on dates. And days off on dates turns into days off with girlfriends and boyfriends and whatnot. It's actually not a bad movie, but it doesn't really get much better than not bad. It's, you know, an okay movie to watch. Some of the shots were really, really good. But that's about it. I also watched another fairly indie movie, Little Fockers.
It wasn't Gulliver's Travels.
It was not Gulliver's Travels. Little Fockers was bad. I was very upset because everybody, you know, everybody says, oh, it's going to be horrible, it's going to be horrible. And I kind of tempered those opinions by saying to myself that everybody said the same thing about the first two movies. And I love the first two movies. I think those are kind of hilarious. And I would watch them again if I had the chance. So I figured, you know what?
So that's this what your just... birthday present
is. I figured this is just, you know,
the fucker trilogy.
People being haters. But guess what? No, it was actually a bad movie. I should have listened. I'm happy that you reminded me of the Chicago Code, because I actually did also begin to watch the Chicago Code. And I know you love the Chicago Code.
I'm guessing you don't.
I adore it.
Oh my goodness.
I think this show is awesome.
Thank God.
I think that this show works so well, even with I am the worst actor in the world, Delroy Lindo.
He's not the worst actor in the world.
All right, I'm sorry. I forgot. There's Nicolas Cage. but
Delroy
no,
Lindo's
this
awesome.
This show is fantastic. I actually agree with you on the matter of the voiceover. It's very cheesy. Also, another point that I'd like to bring up: I really don't like Jennifer Beals' accent. Jennifer Beals is the superintendent. I think. It's
oh
weird.
Shit! Sorry, for some reason I heard Jessica Biel.
Oh no no,
like,
no no!
I'm like, that is not Jessica Biel. I would have recognized that ass anywhere.
So would I. That's what the A team is for. Anyway, yes, Jennifer Biel's accent, I think, is kind of weird, but I really, really enjoy this show. The awesome man who was a senator and now is a cop is awesome, fantastic. just, oh, I need to watch more of this show. They need to send me screeners. Excuse me,
so
CBS,
I remember you,
give
you
me
cursing
some...
the show when we saw ads during the Super
fucking
Bowl.
Fucking Delroy Lindo is in this show. Why is it... So, it's not supposed to be this good. You have no right, Chicago Code.
So why,
none whatsoever.
Why did you watch it is my question.
Kind of gave up to peer pressure, I suppose.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah, this is you. This is you. I said, you know what? Fuck it. All right, fine. I'll watch this.
Just so you can trash on it.
That's exactly why.
Yes, Mark Wahlberg. Yes, Mark Wahlberg. I am a tuna fish and you are a lamb. you learned how to dance ballet to make fun of me, ironically.
but actually, there's one last thing that I watched this week, and it's a little show, and it really is little, by the name of Eagle Heart. It's a show with Chris Elliott. Do you know who Chris Elliott is?
Name sounds familiar.
You know who Chris Elliott is, you just don't know that you know him. He is the lead in Cabin Boy, oh so long ago. He also the biggest role probably that he has done is as a side actor. He was the cameraman in The Groundhog Day.
Oh, that dude. All okay.
Right. Okay.
Whenever I see that movie, I always ask, what happened to that dude?
Cabin Boy happened to that dude. That movie was horrible, and I don't think he's quite recovered yet. But he is in this new show called Eagle Heart, and it airs on Comedy Central. No, sorry, on the Cartoon Network. This is an Adult Swim television show.
Is it live action or?
Yes, cartoon? It's live action. Okay. Live action. And it's, when I said it's little, it really is little. It's 15 minutes long each episode, and it's really not that good. it's kind of okay. It has potential, you know, but there's this one scene that I saw again on Conan O'Brien. well, he produces a show too, apparently. But I saw this scene. They showed this scene on the show where they do some. How's the best way to put it? Let's just call it a lethal leapfrog, and it is the most hilarious shit ever. And when I saw that scene, I said to myself, yes, Douglas, you must give this show a chance. And unfortunately, it's just okay. And it's on the lower side of okay. It's like, I see where you're going with this. This is the same sort of comedy that works, but it's just not working right now. And it's the same thing I was talking to you the other day about, what my view is on a lot of comedy, especially SNL type comedy, where I think the reason that I don't like it most of the time is that, well, it feels to me like it's almost like an inside joke. It's it's funny when you're in on it, when you're like there are all sorts of things that when I talk to you, Andrew, and we're having a laugh that are really so funny to us, but somebody watching us is just gonna be like, "Real, I don't get it. That's not funny. That's just weird." I feel like a lot of comedies now are like that, where it's kind of like I watch them and I say, "You know what? If I was there, and I was, you know, hanging out with them and doing this thing with them, it would probably be really funny and really cool, but me just watching them, nah, it's not that funny." But I guess that is essentially all I've watched this week. Those four little things. So what are we off to next? I still haven't finished my second beer. This is atrocious.
No, I'm not done yet. I still have a little bit to go.
No, this is a problem. I should be finished with this. Hold on.
Just get to it.
I just got an invitation through the mail. Your presence requested this evening. It's formal. Top hat, white tie, and tails. Nothing now could take the wind out of my sails. 'Cause I'm invited to step out this evening. Top hat, white tie, and tails. Oh, I'm putting on the top hat, tying up my white tie, brushing off my tail.
Anyways, trailers this week. Where's my list? Where's my file? Okay.
Dun, 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 dun,
this week in trailers, the trailer for this new film with Ava Green cracks.
Is that her name? Ava Green cracks? Wow. Green cracks. I don't know.
Miss G, she is fearless and true.
No textbooks today, girls.
And an example to every one of us.
What is
the most important thing in life?
Desire, Miss G.
Yes, you can achieve anything you want. All you need is to desire it.
Radfield sets the standard.
We have a new girl coming all the way from Spain.
Whoever you are, you're late.
That's Fiamma, the aristocrat.
It seems the bar has been raised, Radfield.
The world falls at her feet, so unjust, so unearned.
You're not like the other girls. They're still waiting for their lives to begin, but not you.
All our girls are to be treated equally, as you well know, Miss Gribben.
I would do anything for you. You do know that, don't you?
So, it's about this woman who's like a swim coach at this school, which looks like it donates organs to English people, and I don't think it's that good. I mean, it looks well put together. It looks like one of those period pieces where you go, the costumes are nice, the acting is nice, and it looks like every other movie set in that time. A new student comes in, there's change in the school, and all the students turn against them, and it looks like there's something against the teacher. It looks crazy. You look
a swim coach, Andrew.
A swim coach.
Andrew, first of all,
diving coach.
She does not look like either a swim coach or a diving coach. She looks like some sort of English teacher or like arts teacher or something like that. Who happened to essentially, at least what my take on this is that she's a regular teacher in terms of she teaches a regular class. But she is loved by her students. And she forms some sort of society with these handpicked students or whatnot. And then that's where the swimming and the diving comes in. It's just them having fun, I think. That's what I take from the trailer. But like I said, this new student from Spain comes along. And you know what happens? She has an affair with Eva Green Cracks. Okay, that's what happens. That's what the trailer, this movie is about. And then things go bad. And then these rumors that this Spanish chick is telling about her, they're not rumors. They are facts about how Eva Green Cracks is having sex with her.
Okay? I think you're going to call her that.
I think so.
What did you think about the trailer?
What did I think about the trailer? I kind of mirror your thoughts on the fact that it really looks really good in the sense of aesthetics. It looks, I like the feel of it, the feel of the, I don't know what year this exactly is, but it feels like, you know, 60s, 50s, like really pre-modern times, but not quite, you know, not Victorian, definitely not, of course. But I kind of like that, you know, that it's in that time where, whatever, I just like period pieces from that time. and it looks like
Never Let Me Go.
I thought it was,
I know your answer. I'm just saying all right. Because it looks like the same exact time when that's,
oh no, yeah, it's the same time. But Andrew, I knew I wasn't going to like this movie because it's a movie about cyborgs. I didn't need that.
Cyborg. I mean, they cast Keira Knightley, so they got the casting right.
Keira Rake with a face Knightley, really? Okay, that's what. Alright, I hear you. I think this movie will look nice, and I'll probably watch it, but I don't think it will really deliver on its potential.
There are not many good trailers this week, so I wanted to talk about a couple of trailers that came out few weeks back and we just haven't spoken about. One being Ceremony, this film starring Uma Thurman and Lee Pace and some other dude which I don't know his name.
Have you gone out of your mind?
It's my sister's wedding, so if you guys need anything, coke, pills.
Oh, actually, I could really use a ginger ale and like an aspirin. So.
What are you still doing here?
Seems like I'm in the process of winning you back.
Zoe, coercing you into finally marrying me has been my greatest achievement. Other than that Oscar.
I can't believe you're actually considering this guy as a serious option for you. He's screening his movie at his wedding reception. What kind of man are we dealing with here? I am at war with this man right now, okay? Look at him, he's practically running scared.
I'm a machine!
The funny thing about it is that guy, that other dude as you call him, I know not of his name either. However, I recognize him. I know him from somewhere. Where is he from?
You're asking me a question that I don't know the answer to.
That's probably a regular occurrence.
That's very true. We never know these things. Is it this dude? Michael?
Yes, him.
Angarano. He's from Almost Famous. Oh my goodness. William. Oh, he's the young William.
But he's in all sorts of other things too, I'm sure. What
he's
else?
He's in the Forbidden Kingdom. He's the white dude in Forbidden Kingdom. He's in Snow Angels. I like that.
He's in 24!
Yeah, he's in 24 for some episodes. And he's in he was in Will and Grace for like 5 years.
I didn't watch that show, so I would not know.
He's also in the new Kevin Smith film,
Red State.
Anyways, Ceremony. It's about this guy who comes to this woman's wedding who he loves, and the woman is getting married to Lee Pace as Uma Thurman, and he's trying to figure out whether he can convince her to not marry him and go back to being with him. Not marry Lee Pace and go back to being with him. I'm not a huge fan of this trailer. It looks like it's going for the Douglas genre more than anything else. Like, it decided, we don't have that much compelling acting in the trailer, so we're just going to put some nice music on top of it, and then they'll think it's quirky, and they'll like it. Lee Pace, I'm a huge fan of from Pushing Daisies, which I really am sad that show isn't around anymore. I really love that show. But I guess everything has to come to an end. Uma Thurman, I'm 50-50 on. She does good and bad. And this other dude, I guess he's done pretty much bad stuff so far. So Douglas, what do you think?
What do I think? I think that this movie looks kind of quirky, and I'll probably really like it. That's what you said, right? Yes? Okay. No, this movie, it looks interesting. I liked the look of it, the color scheme, and how everybody looked in it. I thought it was kind of funny that they've got Lee Pace apparently. Well, I'm not sure actually, but he does make a comment about winning an Oscar, so I'm just going to assume that he's an actor, and that he wasn't just making some sort of joke. But I think,
well, I mean, they even talk about how he's going to premiere his film at the reception, you have to assume he's pretty much an actor.
Right. So, what was I saying? Yes, I thought it was kind of neat that they are making him play this actor, and on top of that, he's driving around on the beach in this beach buggy that is extremely similar to the one that Steve McQueen used to drive around in, or at least he drove around in it in the Thomas Crown Affair. And
I don't think I've seen that one, the original.
That's a decent one. It's not.
I've seen the Pierce Brosnan version.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that it's a great Steve McQueen film to start with. I haven't seen that many of his films to just put that out there off the bat. But I really, really love Bullet. I think Bullet is fantastic, and I know your views on it, but I think that is a great McQueen movie. But at the same time, Thomas Crown is pretty good as well. I have that, so you can totally, you know, borrow it if you'd like. Yes, and it's in, I'm sorry, it's in SD, not HD.
I can't watch it.
Not
dirty SD.
But no, this movie looks like the type of film that I would probably enjoy watching. You know, a little love triangle here, a little, you know, sexual frustration there. Why not? Those are my views, and I'm sticking to them.
You're sticking to them.
Yes, what else are we talking about now?
Last trailer I wanted to talk about is the new Red Band trailer, which came out for Take Me Home Tonight, the new film starring Dan Fogler, Anna Faris, and Topher Grace.
I got fired today. I didn't go to screw all day and drink all night college like you twin bastards did. I'm sorry. Tonight, I'm catching up. Relax.
We're just going to borrow it.
What if someone sees us?
Man,
stop thinking, okay? Tonight, we're just doing. Shut off the alarm.
Fuck! They changed the alarm codes, man. Those bastards didn't trust me.
I wonder why.
Oh, my God. Holy fuck, this is great.
Test drive.
What's up? Tell them where you're from.
A one-night crazy 80s-esque comedy in which Dan Fogler, who just got fired from his job, decides he's gonna go insane, and his friends Topher Grace and Anna Faris are gonna take him out, and they're gonna go to this party and just go crazy. And that's pretty much all we know. I mean, I know, I don't even need to ask Douglas. I know he wants to watch it. He hears 80s, One Crazy Night. He's totally in. There's not, you don't even need to tell him actors, directors, runtime. But he's in. On one thing that I noted really closely about this film was there was a music video which came out a few weeks ago. I don't know if you saw it. I can't remember which song it was that the video was for. But the whole video had all the actors in it.
Oh, yes. I told you about this video. It's The New Pornographers.
The New Pornographers.
And it has... It starts off with Paul Rudd and Bill Hader doing a trailer for their movies, Expectant Dads, and they're both pregnant. And I think we're talking about two different things. What were you talking about,
Andrew? It's a music video for a song from this movie.
Okay. Yes, we are. What are you talking about, Andrew?
And it's basically an ad for the movie, and they have all the actors come in, and they recreate scenes, moments from classic 80s films, from Back to the Future to that... Why can't I remember the name of the movie right now? The John Hughes movie, one of the early ones. Weird Science. And all
I like that movie.
And it's just crazy.
You know Downey Jr.'s in that movie?
Yes, I do. I rewatched it recently.
Like that movie. It's fun. You know what I used to love? And you used to watch it with me too. I know you're probably going to tell me, but I don't remember that. Do you remember Weird Science, the TV show?
I remember. Do I remember like anything specific other than it was a TV show from the movie? Not really. But anyways, Douglas, before you say it, I have to say I agree with you. This trailer gives off exactly what it needs to give off for me wanting to watch it. Crazy one night 80 moviesness. It'll be stupid, ridiculous, and over the top. Hopefully it'll be a Hot Tub Time Machine. It'll be Hot Tub Time Machine times...
Wait, hang on. Did you really like Hot Tub Time Machine?
I liked Hot Tub Time Machine.
I do have it up in my, you know, Netflix queue. But really, I feel like I will just probably skip over it once I actually get to it, because
it can't be good. You see, the thing with Hot Tub Time Machine is they've created a story in which it gave them an excuse to make an 80s film.
Okay, I have to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get to see John Cusack and Craig Ferguson when they go back in time?
Explain. I don't know.
Because I know that this hot tub, mm-hmm, it is a time machine.
Yes.
And it brings them back to their youth.
Mm-hmm.
When they go back to their youth, are they their youthful selves, or are they their old selves in their youthful time?
The answer to that question is kind of stupid. They're their youthful selves. However, you see them as their older selves. They even have a scene where they've just gone.
So it's gonna be like one of those things where every once in a while you see them as everybody else sees them, but most of the time it's them acting.
No. You see them for the whole film basically as they are, but there's this one scene explaining the whole thing where,
uh-huh,
early when they've just gone back in time, they go in a bathroom with a mirror and you see all of the young selves in the mirror and they're like, that's what's happened.
But okay, that's fine. You see, because what I was worried about is that, first off, there is but one really funny man in this movie, and that is Craig Robinson. And
you don't like Rob Corddry?
I forgot he was in this film, but at the same time, he doesn't... I'm not going to say he's bad, because I know he's not, but at the same time, I don't go crazy over him. I go crazy over Craig Robinson.
You know that good dude from Sex Drive? I can't remember his name right now.
I liked him in Sex Drive.
Clark Duke.
Rotted, you know his name. I liked him in Sex Drive. I've seen him in a couple other stuff, and he wasn't that great.
Well.
Yeah, but like, that wasn't anything. But I don't know, whatever. I just haven't been impressed by him in anything
John
else.
Cusack.
No, I don't.
Well, it's 80s John Cusack.
No, it's not. 80s John Cusack, I loved. Early 90s John Cusack, I loved. No,
after
John
that?
Cusack, I don't know about that.
Hey, Con Air is a classic.
A classic pile of shit.
Anyways, we were talking about Take Me Home tonight. Douglas, you can now say, what did you think about his trailer?
His trailer was horrible. This looks like the worst movie ever made. end scene. wasn't that believable? this trailer, Andrew, I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to end. I don't know how
just
to say
the, music
the things
awesome.
That I want to say. I don't think that there are words that are good enough for this trailer. This trailer makes me want to cry.
Did it make you jizz in your pants?
I didn't want to say it, but yeah. More than once. no, this trailer is fantastic, and I mean, I know I'm laying it all out there. I know this is a bad movie. I know this is a, I'm not gonna say a bad trailer, but looks like a trailer for a bad movie. But guess what? You can't choose what you love, and I love 80s one night, one crazy night movies. I love them.
Can I say I'm so happy that this is the movie Topher Grace is using to come back from his horrible role in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, but like that was 10 years ago. What the hell happened to him? Topher Grace, I do like you.
Oh, I loved him in that movie.
Yeah, with Scarlett Johansson, The Good Company, I think it was called. I mean, I liked that movie too. I like him. Apparently the 70s show was good. I'll give him that. Not that I ever watched it. I watched a couple episodes.
I saw one episode recently. I don't think he was in it, though. Oh, wait, no, he was. Shit, I remember.
He better be in it. I mean, he was in the 70s show.
Oh, but I thought maybe he was one of those characters who came later, but no.
No, he was... I think he was in it from the start. Anyway, back to the praise that I am heaping on Take Me Home Tonight. This film epitomizes what I believe, or the direction that I believe film should have gone. The reason that I, you know, watch or try to watch French pretentiousness is because I know that the American cinema will no longer give me the sort of entertainment and just reckless... humor that 80s one-night movies give me. And now I am glad to see that they are going back to their roots in the 80s. I don't think they did any movies before then.
Not the 30s.
No.
Not the 40s.
No.
Definitely not the 50s.
Come on, man. What was that? Rosebud? I don't know what that is.
gin joints and bars.
What? Huh?
Of all the
gin joints in the world?
I don't know that movie, right?
Yeah. That's a movie? What are you talking about? I'm confused. but no, okay. Seriously, this movie looks just like the 80s movies that I adored. And I really hope that it lives up to what it's selling. Because it's selling some top class crazy shit. And I want to watch it.
This week, you decided we were going to watch this film. It's a French movie.
No. technically, it's you can't say that it's French if they didn't say anything.
Really? Really? Is that going to be your excuse? Directed by Sylvain Chomet. I'm sure I'm butchering his
name. I think it's Chomet.
Chomet.
E.T. is usually the A in French.
Written by him as well as Jacques Tati.
Jacques, what the hell is wrong with you? Jacques Tati.
Jacques Tati.
No, you can't really say that Sylvain wrote this. Jacques Tati wrote this. I love the story behind it. We've spoke about this before because we watched the trailer for this, I'm sure, a long time ago.
I forgot this story, so tell me.
But the story of this movie is fantastic. Jacques Tati is dead, right? He was a filmmaker in the 50s and around that time, a French filmmaker, and he wrote this script, and I guess it just kind of got lost in whatever, and this guy just came about it and was like, I'm now going to make this script that was written in like 1950 or whenever it was, and I'm going to make it a movie, and I just love that he found this thing, or that somebody found this thing and, you know, saw the merit of it. And to tell you the truth, I feel like this could be like a story in itself, like, you know, the script or this inanimate object moving from place to place, from, I'm sure, person to person, and finally one day seeing its light that it finally deserves or whatnot. But I really think that's a cool little fact about this movie, that it was written 50 years ago, you know. This movie, though we haven't said anything about it, is actually about an illusionist, so the title is not misleading. It's about a magician who, I guess you could say, travels, I can't really say the world, but definitely travels Europe, trying to kind of this is not a movie about somebody trying to make it. This is a movie about somebody trying to not go poor. And
he's just a working
man. Yeah, exactly.
He's a working man.
He knows that he needs money to eat, and he's good with his hands, so he tries to put the two together. Along the way, he develops this relationship with, I guess you could call her, I don't want to say serving girl, that sounds so very weird, but this girl that worked in a hotel or in one of the establishments that he performed in. And it goes from there. She kind of follows him around wherever he goes after that. And there is this very weird relationship that they develop. This almost like he falls in love with her almost. And this is a girl, I mean, you never really are told, because really there's no dialogue, there's not much going on there, but it's clear that he's much older than her, and it's very much of a protective relationship where he tries to keep her in a style which he believes that she deserves, or a lifestyle that he believes she deserves. And this movie ends up being the story of that. How he, you know, is able, or how he attempts to do this and to keep her, you know, happy, or try to keep her happy in what he thinks she should, using what he thinks would make her happy. And in the end, seeing that crumble. And really and truly, this is an odd little story, and I kind of described it, I guess, facetiously as, when I finished watching the movie, as a movie about a man who kind of hooks up with this unrelenting gold digger. And in a sense, she is, and it's horrible. But I think, first of all, the animation in this film is fantastic. There are a couple of times when you're like, ooh, yes, I see that CG. No, that's not that cool. But for most of the movie, it is superb. I love
the way that, since there is, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of flack from Andrew for this, there is no dialogue in this film, or no real dialogue. I love the way that the filmmaker uses body language and situations to get the point across, to move the story without needing any words. And even the words that he uses, you know, they're very... some of them seem nonsensical to me. Maybe it's just because I don't speak whatever language some of them are speaking. There's a little bit of English in there. There's a little bit of French in there. And the French that there is... So a lot of it's kind of like merci and, you know, that kind of thing where you'll be able to understand it. And so he uses very generic phrases that kind of helps it along as well. But all in all, I think this is a great movie. I, at the same time, I don't think I'd ever really watch it again. So there's that. I'm not... It was entertaining, but not the type of entertaining that I would want to be entertained with again. but there are so many great moments in this film. I just want to make one note before I send it off to you, because I know I've been talking lots of gibberish for lots of time. But there is one thing in this movie that really was just so sweet. I mean, it's not really sweet, but it was kind of funny, and it was a joke that they kind of played on more than once. Was there was this British band, the English Britoons or something like that they were called, and I loved the way that they were portrayed. You know, they had this extremely flamboyant lead singer. And it was not only flamboyant, but clearly very, well, I don't want to say vain, but very into his looks. And he had the, you know, the poofy hairstyle, and he was really scrawny, and he wore his fancy clothes on stage and stuff. And I loved that no matter where this illusionist went, he always lost his job to them. And I loved it.
Was it always? I mean...
Listen, twice for me counts as always. The fact that they were brought again, I thought that was so funny. So, okay, alright. I have to admit, it happened only twice, but it happened early on in the movie, and then it happened kind of closer towards the end when things were kind of crumbling apart. And it was kind of one of those things where he probably would have kept going on, but all of a sudden now his job is essentially gone. And instead of making it extremely sad, it was him losing his job again to this, you know, British band.
And the Britoons.
It was the Britoons, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. And I don't know, that just made me chuckle, and I really like that. And I like that they did things like that throughout the movie. It wasn't just that one thing, even though I can't really think of anything else. But anyway, overall, this movie is pretty good. I would recommend it to not the faint of heart, but to anybody who really does, you know, enjoy the odd movie. Andrew, what about you?
This is one of the movies where you have to be a cinephile kind of person to appreciate. It's not an easy movie to get through, even though I think that this is a movie I'd recommend to everyone if it happened to have been a 10 to 20 minute short, because you would have been able to get through the whole no dialogue thing without a problem. You would have been like, I agree with you 100%. It's a brilliant movie in its technical sense, in the fact that someone has been able to create this story without needing the dialogue. But at the same time, I'm not going to lie if I didn't tell you. I would be lying if I didn't tell you that I struggled as this movie was going on. because I was getting to the point where I was like, I get it. You can animate. It's friggin' beautiful. The story is there, but I want something else. I wouldn't, like, I mean, I summed it up perfectly in this tweet I put out right after I watched the movie. Not a bad movie at all, just not entertaining. Brilliant animation. It's one of those movies where you look on and you're so happy you watched, because you've seen something that you've never seen before. I mean, of course, you know, I wasn't born in the 20s when sound wasn't invented in film yet. And back then, they still technically had dialogue, because they just cut in frames of dialogue where they put the text on the screen for you to read for a few seconds before they moved on to the next scene. But in this movie, like, there's no misunderstanding at any point. You talk about how there's a little English, a little French. Other than the opening where they have like one line of English dialogue introducing the film, I consider the rest of it just mumbles.
No, that's what most of it is. I mean, but at the same time, I just point out that the Britons were singing in English, and that was very recognizable. Another thing, I actually just remember how I said, oh, I can only think of the Britons. Another kind of jokey thing that kept popping up was the Scottish man.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke in English, but like you said, it was very, you know, cut up, and yeah, so you know, it'd be like you'd hear hi, and you'd hear yeah, and you hear fantastic or something like that, you know. But especially because apparently all Scottish people drink until they are gone, this was not only unrecognizable because they only used one or two words here and there, but it was unrecognizable because the man was slurring his words horribly.
Have you ever heard a drunk Scottishman?
The Scotsman.
It's really hard to understand sometimes. But yeah, I mean, I appreciated the film, and I guess that's the worst thing I can say about the movie, because, you know, when you get to the point where all you're really saying is I appreciated the film.
Yeah, I appreciated Rosebud too, but...
Actually, I didn't appreciate
it. Oh, no, I appreciated it. But that's about as far as I can go. The list, Andrew, the list.
The animation in this movie, though, like I mean, we always talk about it. It's ever since Pixar has come around, it's just been an overabundance of computer animation, which I love. I mean, I would never give up. There's...
Cars.
Toy Story 3, Car... What?
Yes! I got him to say it!
There's Monsters, Inc. I never give up those movies. But at the same time, I don't want to give up all the animated films from before then. Like Lion King, 101 Dalmatians. All those movies, I wouldn't give up. I don't want to give up those either. But we've technically have given them up. In recent days, they've gone back to it. Like, they gave us Princess and the Frog last year, which I thought was amazing. And this movie, I think this movie proves that we need we need hand-drawn 2D animation more. Please, I want more. If I have to take more of this kind of movie, I'll do it. Just for the animation. I go further than what you say about the girl. I think about it.
Oh, by the way, I just wanted to make one note that it was like, while I was watching the movie, it wasn't 100% clear. But as she got more and more new clothes, I said to myself, "This girl looks just like Alice in Wonderland." And actually, if you look in the credits, I'm not sure if they're crediting her specifically, but there is a character in this movie called Alice, and I think that they're probably referring to her, because she was she had the blue dress with the white thing,
Alice,
and
yeah.
It was just fantastic. I thought it was cool.
I call her a girl who found a sugar daddy.
Yeah.
It's just kind of stupid because as you're watching it, you're going, man, why are you thinking this is a possibility?
Yeah, you know?
And he's just throwing money at the girl, and I'm like, this is so stupid. And you know it's going to go pear-shaped, but and it eventually does. The movie is one of those movies that you feel you've seen something immense as you watched it. You feel you've seen something that you're not going to forget anytime soon, and not in a bad way. Not like having seen Twilight, which I'm sure Damien still has not forgotten at this point.
I think that's probably why he isn't here. I think he's still crying at home.
I think they made him watch New Moon.
Yeah.
And next week he'll have to watch Breaking Dawn, Eclipse. In preparation for Breaking Dawn this year.
You know, I still haven't watched that Eclipse movie.
One of the best lines from last year.
You know I'm too hyped for you or whatever.
You know I'm part of it. Anyways, I don't know if you have anything else you want to say about this movie.
Not much, just that even though I make all of these qualifications and I say things like I'll never watch it again, don't take that personally, The Illusionist. I love you.
Because it's French.
This movie, I mean...
Even though they don't talk French.
Yeah. They don't talk French, they don't walk French, but I know they're French.
I mean, the movie definitely touched on a lot of things. Like, it went through the history. I mean, I haven't checked the books. It started out... The film started in 59... It had a lot of anti-slavery or something themes in it, because you saw like people being taken away by the police in the film, and you saw like paintings on walls going "Free Scotland," and it was very strange. I mean, I haven't checked up the history, and you even saw the progression of these performers and what they ended up becoming, which was definitely an interesting thing to see, but at the same time it still fell into my problem with the film of just not being anywhere near entertaining. Like, you see not only this illusionist, but you see all these people in Scotland who are in this hotel, you know, the clown, the ventriloquist, the circus people, I don't know what to really call them, the acrobats.
Freaks. I really like those guys, actually. Now that you remind me of them, that's another fun, jokey bit of this movie.
And you see what they eventually become towards the end. I mean, the clown becomes depressed. The what's his name? Ventriloquist sells his doll and begs money on the side of the road. And the other guys become employed to this really odd job. And that's what the illusionist ends up becoming, a guy who is employed to odd jobs. And it's a question whether this guy can survive in a big town as opposed to the small town where he went and he did a show and was applauded and had a crowd in the Scottish pub where he ends up meeting the girl.
Exactly. And where they end up meeting electricity. But, Andrew, I don't believe in that magic.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's... it's as I said, it's a movie I appreciate, but I don't love. I don't think I'll ever watch it again. I'd recommend it as a rental to people. If you saw the trailer and you were at all interested, rent it. I mean, it'll come out on DVD eventually.
One day, all French films do.
I'm sure it'll be on Criterion. So once again, anything else?
No, I don't think so.
So at this point, I think we're going to say goodnight. I mean, I don't really have a discussion unless you have something you want to talk about.
I want to discuss... Oh, my tummy feels very painful right now. It hurts.
I think I'll cut that out. So anyways, you can find me on gmanreviews.com, twitter.com/gmanreviews, and facebook.com/gmanreviews. Douglas, can they find you anywhere other than the blogs you don't update?
They can find me. I am on Twitter. My name is DJR Lost His Name. And I suppose that's about it for now.
Alright, so thanks for listening, and good night.